Good morning. This is another episode of Good Medicine is Cheaper Medicine. I'm Shelley Wrench, along with Dr. Nash Gabriel with the Gabriel Cancer Center. And I want to remind our listeners that this episode, along with all of our episodes, are available at our website at GabrielCancerCenter.com. So that way you don't have to get up quite so early in the morning to listen to us. Before I start today, I want to... good morning, by the way.
Good morning to everybody.
I want to start with a fact before I pick your brain. The U.S. has the highest healthcare costs, right?
In the world, per capita.
Per capita with GDP. And yet, 16% of the citizens are not insured.
Yes.
If I were to give you a promotion right now, you are now the U.S. president.
Oh, well, you mean president of the United States?
President Gabriel.
Oh, there's a problem with that. I wasn't born here.
Very true.
Although some people claim that we did have a president who wasn't born here.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I don't know whether I want that job. So what do you want to do if I'm a president?
Yeah, what would you do to, I hate to call it healthcare reform because...
Very easy. Would I do with the healthcare system?
Yes.
Very, very easy, Shelley. I will just make you Secretary of HHS and you deal with it.
There you go. I didn't see that one coming.
You didn't see that coming?
No.
Yeah. There is no doubt, Shelley, that this is the healthcare is one of the most complex things. The proof to that is whatever is done doesn't solve the problem. I don't want to go into the details of it, why it is so complex, but needless to say, anybody who wants to Google the cost of healthcare, it is rising way, way exponentially higher than what the GDP is growing.
Right.
And this is, I was going to say, despite all the technologies we have, but actually a lot of it is because of the technology. And a lot of it also is because we in the healthcare profession, physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, and hospitals have lagged behind in thinking forwards as more advances come up, and the advances usually are costly and more expensive.
Well, think of how many practices still have paper charts.
Yes. So for me, if I sit in the, I will not think about this if I was sitting in the Oval Office. I will think about this when I was sitting in the cigar lounge in the White House. Do they have one?
They have to.
And maybe a Blanton or some other bourbon and a cigar and think about it.
Well, I'm sure there's some bourbon there.
I think, I'm sure they do. I have no doubt in my mind, but that ultimately I will, the baseline, the parameter would be, if I want to fix this very complex, troubling system, the basic parameter would be free market. Because I'm capitalist, I believe in capitalism, and I believe in free markets. And I think this simple principle is probably the main reason why we have failed to modify the healthcare system.
So are you maybe taking into consideration having a single payer and let the market forces?
Absolutely not. That would be
the opposite.
I know the single payer is number one, not capitalistic. Number two, it will increase the healthcare cost, and if we are willing and brave enough to look at other systems or other countries that have single payer system, they are not doing well. I mean, Canadians, they have a national healthcare system, yet Canadians, those who can afford, are buying private insurance so that to fill the gaps when the gaps exist.
Right, same thing in the UK.
Hospitals and physicians in the bordering states, northern states, they see a quite significant number of Canadians who can either pay cash or have a supplemental or have their own health insurance.
Or come across the border. We've had several patients come across the border from Canada because they couldn't get good care.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They cross the border because the system there is not accommodating them. I remember when I was training in Scotland, although that was 1984, it took 3 months. Again, the UK, the United Kingdom, have a National Health Service. It took 3 months to schedule a CAT scan. 3 months. When our patients these days, when the hospitals say, well, we'll do CAT scan in 10 days, hell breaks loose. Right. How could that be?
And the UK hasn't changed. I mean, my own son took 3 months to get a Holter monitor and then 3 months after that to get the results.
Margaret Thatcher tried to insert, because she liked Reagan and she liked America a lot, and she tried to promote private insurance. It worked for a while, and then the Labour Party came into power and they basically disincentivized the system and the citizens. So back to the question, what would we do? Go to the basic principles. We have to believe in the free market. And those who don't believe in the free market, just look around. This is the greatest country in the world throughout history for simple reasons. Awesome constitution that adores individual rights, individual responsibility, and the right to be happy in life, and also the free market. So that will be the basic principle.
How do you get there, though, from here?
How do you get there? So when the government tries to solve the problem,
that is the problem.
It is the problem. And when they succeed in superficially solving a problem, how do they do that? By putting more money into it. Where's that money coming from? From the taxpayers. So they increase taxes. Look at Obamacare. Why did Justice John Roberts, the Chief Justice Roberts, why did he side with the left and said that Obamacare is constitutional? He said because it was a tax and the government has the right to pass taxes. That the individual mandates people to buy insurance, otherwise they will pay penalty. A tax is a penalty.
Right.
So Obamacare was based on that. Look at part of the ACA, Obamacare, is all these quality measures. In those quality measures that are costing billions of dollars, we are part of those quality measures.
Right.
But when you look at the data we are collecting, really not much of it has a tangible benefit to the patient or to containing cost. I think everybody agrees that Obamacare did raise the healthcare cost.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the main things that the Obamacare came out was to eliminate some of the worst practices of the insurance companies. That was one of the main things for the Obamacare. What did he do? He was supposed to conform everyone to all insurance companies to be doing the same thing.
I am not about to blame the Democrats or Obamacare for that. They meant well. It was well-meaning, but sometimes you mean well, but you screw up. They meant well that there were 30, 40 million Americans who had no insurance and we need to take care of them. That the pre-existing condition, how dare you deny patients insurance when they have pre-existing condition. And the insurance company says, we're not going to provide insurance for people when they decide today to have health insurance when they get sick. It's like your house goes up on fire and you have no insurance. And then next day you go and say, I want insurance on my house that just burned. So I'll pay the premium and fix it. And next day I'll drop my premium.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy, but what the government did, they said to the insurance, don't worry about that. If you run into the red, we will pay the difference. Again, same scenario. Put more money, taxpayers' money, to solve the problem. Those are the guys I would use. Not that it's a simple problem. It's a very complex problem. But there are some defects in the system that I think if we fix them, and we can. Take your example. Currently, about 20% of healthcare cost goes to drugs. Correct?
Correct.
You and I know that the cost of drugs between the manufacturer and the consumer is inflated by a percentage. I don't know, 10, 15, 20%.
Yeah, we've had lots of discussions about that. Even there's just so many people in between. Yes.
Sometimes more than that. And the system is paying for that. Look, can we as a society lower that by, not by 10%, just by 3%? I just said healthcare cost is rising above inflation level. That 3% of the 20% translates into about 1.5% dropping in the cost of healthcare. Give another example. Insurance companies. Insurance companies, they provide a service in the free market. But the way they compete with each other when there is competition, that's another point I'll come to soon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When insurance companies compete with each other, they don't compete based on the quality of the care. They don't compete based on the cost. How do they compete with each other? By who has more advertisement and who pays the agents more. We have talked about this before. We had a problem here in Canton, Ohio, where one insurance company exuberantly paid agents. So the agent come to you with four plans. You don't know that plan A pays him 50% commission, plan B pays him only 5%. Now he's a human, the sales agent or she, and they were put in this predicament. They are humans. They care, but they are humans. And when the difference in the commission is so big, which one would he promote?
Of course, the one that gets more commission.
Now, who is paying for that commission? Is the individuals and the companies, the employers.
The employers and everybody who's part of that group, because it's all going to come down to the there's so many dollars that have to be in that pie to take care of the group. So it's everybody in that.
So that is a big problem that we have. The insurance companies, they compete based on who has a better sales strategy. In fact, drug companies do the same by trying to advertise more, by trying to create the rebates. We have talked about this over and over.
You know, the one thing I want to make sure that people understand, too, is the same thing happens in the Medicare world. A lot of the 65-plus, they don't realize that this is going on. They don't even start to fathom that this would happen to them. But when I tell patients, if somebody's coming into your home to sell you Medicare, it's not Medicare anymore. It's a Medicare Advantage plan, and you no longer have Medicare. And every time when I talk to patients, they always say, no, I still have Medicare, but I have this as a supplemental, where it's a Medicare Advantage plan. And it's the same thing. It's based on commission. They're not going to go in and sell you Medicare because they get zero. Even though that they know that this for this patient, that person is much better off to have traditional Medicare with a supplemental policy, yet they don't get a higher commission on it.
So you just brought up another point. Again, I'm going through this analytics of where the problems are and come up with solutions that we don't want to lower healthcare costs by 30% or 20%. In fact, that can have, if we do that, it can have a detrimental impact on the economy of the society. But we're talking here about if we can lower healthcare costs by 3, 4%, flatten the curve, I think everybody will be very happy. And we'll have enough savings that we can divert into the true and real pre-existing conditions that make some people suffer. You're just talking about the seniors where a saleswoman or salesman come to them and try to sell them a Medicare HMO, right?
Right.
Do you call those? Medicare HMO plans. And there is no transparency in that, but I always tend to blame individuals rather than the corporations. You have an insurance company, their job is to do what? They are not Mother Teresa.
No.
They want to make profit.
Yeah.
And we don't blame them for that. We really have to be honest about this. They are companies, they are businesses who were built with investors who were expecting revenues and profits. They expect dividends. So they will do whatever it takes to generate revenues. It's the individuals. Do we, as human beings, do our homework? Do we really, like the seniors, do they really dig into the question, what do you mean by that? Or put it in writing for me.
The only thing is have you seen the in writing stuff that they get? I've seen the sales folders for these Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare HMOs. I'm in this world, and yet it's so confusing to me. If I didn't know what the outcome really is, by reading it, I wouldn't have come to that same conclusion. And these poor patients, they don't realize that when they go to Medicare Advantage plan, they still have an out-of-pocket.
So now you're talking again about the government role. As much as I don't like the government to have a role in a lot of things, consumer protection is some area where, although I blame the individuals, and our education system is kind of failing to educate our students to be stewards of their finances. That's a problem. So, but that's aside. The government has the duty, I think, to protect the consumers by imposing or by encouraging entities like hospitals, physicians, and insurance companies to have blatant transparency in how they do business. We always blame patients and families that they didn't do their homework by inquiring into the cost. But we also have to be realistic. When you go to the emergency room with a broken leg, I don't think inquiring about the cost would be something in your mind, because number one, you're sitting in the emergency room with a serious problem, and if they tell you the cost is this much or that much, you're not going to say, okay, let me go back in the ambulance and take me to another hospital. It just doesn't work that way. Correct?
Right.
There's no way you can do that. But again, any plan we design to solve the healthcare problem in America, we have to be realistic that there are a lot of areas that we can work on to lower costs, and there are some areas that we just cannot. The good thing about it is, in those areas where we can lower costs, the savings will be more than enough to fill the gaps and to flatten that rising healthcare cost. And more importantly, this is one area where I have passion towards. And kind of I have disagreement with a lot of Democrats and Republicans about it. Blaming drug companies for all the ailments of the healthcare system. Yet, we increased the lifespan of Americans from 34 years back in the 20s to 81 now for women. How did we do that?
By the medications, great treatment that we have available
now.
Who
invented those medications and vaccines? Drug companies. To target them is a distraction from the real ailments in the society, and those ailments are insurance companies.
And now it's the partnership with the insurance companies and the
pharmacy benefit, which will increase that increment between the manufacturing of a drug or a device and when it reaches the consumer. That increment is becoming too much, and I am disappointed that a judge allowed a merger between a PBM and Cigna, an insurance company.
Yeah, with Aetna. Yeah.
To me, as much as I am a capitalist, anything that will approach a monopoly, there is only one person who will benefit the monopoly, and there is only one person who will be hurt, and that is the public, the patients.
Yeah, and it's that whole love triangle with the specialty pharmacies, the insurance company, and the PBMs that is really making the cost of the pharmaceutical drugs to really expand. Like, they're increasing incessantly.
Another area you and I know that lab testing, the margin, again, from the lab.
Can we go back a second?
Yes.
So how would you fix the rising cost of the pharmaceuticals?
One area, again, is to minimize the impact of the middleman, which is the PBM.
Would you eliminate them?
Eliminate, no, it's a free market. But I will ask for transparency. The kickback that they get, they're called rebate. I call it kickback. Let's call it spades, call spades. Insurance companies and pharmacy benefit plans, which are connected to them, they have dealing with the drug companies that if they give, if the insurance and the PBM, if they give a drug company a preferential treatment, the drug company will pay them a rebate or a kickback.
So, Mr. President, what are you going to do?
A transparency.
Just a transparency?
Transparency, yes.
Who's to say that what they're, the information that they're giving to you is the true? I mean, how can you actually audit that to know that the data that you're getting?
Oh, you just said it. You audit it. The consumer, which is 70% of the people in the private sector are insured. I think 70% of Americans are insured through employer. The employers have their human resource department that will have access to that. So when their insurance company they deal with, when the employer deal with the insurance company and the insurance company tell them, we prefer this pharmacy benefit plan, they need to have exact full access and transparency into how much rebate the drug company gave and where did that rebate go. I believe it was either Secretary of HHS or the President who said that rebate should actually go to the patients.
Right. And
there is some legitimacy to that, but I'm not very happy about that because you tell a patient, if I give you expensive a drug, that you actually get some money back in your pocket, then you will have the patient asking for the expensive drug.
It's kind of the way that physicians get paid now for, you know, infused medications.
Yes.
You know, it's incentivized to use a higher cost medication. Which that needs to go away too.
Very, very, very similar scenario. So if there is transparency or for Medicare, the government can say to drug companies, rebate is illegal. Period. The government can do that. You cannot. This is, and in fact, HHS Secretary, he said, what is this about rebates? Just tell us what the price is. Thank you very much. See, they don't want to do that because they have these schemes of rebates that they use as a marketing tool. See, it all goes back to the marketing and the ability to insert twisted methods
in order to increase the sales of their drug.
Yes. Again, the consumer protection folks should be worried about this because if an insurance company gives a preferential treatment to a drug company to use their drug over others, who is protecting the patient? Who is saying, again, we agree, insurance companies are there as a business and they want to make money. But when they are dealing with people's health and the people are really not very educated and informed about this, who is protecting them then? Should we just let go? I think that's an area that the public need to know, employers need to know. So the government can tell them, forget about this BS of rebate. Give me your price. And PBMs, you charge, as you do now, PBMs, the pharmacy benefit plans, they do charge for the services from the employers. The insurance companies, they do make profit. Correct?
Yeah, but now they're only allowed to keep up to 17% of their payouts, which
13%, which is generous.
Which that in itself creates a problem, because do you want to keep 13% of $1 billion or 13% of $1 zillion?
Exactly, which is again incentivizing the insurance companies
to pay more,
make it more expensive,
yes,
which feeds back into the same thing. So the insurance companies now have an incentive to preferentially encourage the use of a very expensive drug, because that drug company is willing to give them a kickback higher than the competition.
So you as president, how do you fix that?
Shelia, I'm telling you, let's analyze all these and then come up. You expect me that in 20 minutes and half an hour
yes,
to solve the problem that the House and the Congress and the Supreme Court and the president have failed to do something about it?
Come on, I thought you were better than that.
No, I'll give you a deal. We analyzed all these predicaments, except there is one we haven't mentioned yet, which is the hospitals. Hospitalization rate in America is still high. The fact is that 32%, that's the statistics from the American Hospital Association, and I always question the accuracy of statistics provided by people about themselves. But let's say 33% of healthcare cost is through hospitalization. You know what? I'm a physician, and I go to the hospitals, both hospitals. Any given day, I walk into hospital, I can assure you, but just by looking at patients, that a good proportion of them didn't need to be there. I walk into intensive care units and see patients who are sitting in their bed, having breakfast and reading the newspaper. Intensive care, if you check the dictionary, meaning you need very intensive care. I don't think sitting in the hospital bed with all the whistles and all the monitors and reading a newspaper is a signal of intensivity of the disease that requires intensive care.
So we should probably invite Donald Trump to go into hospitals on a regular basis and see what's going on?
I think we're running out of time. But in the part two of this, we will talk about the experience of somebody very close to President Trump.
All right. Thank you.